Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me on Dream Guest. This is series two. Can you believe it? And you what? You didn't listen to season one, but you're still here on season two. I like you kind of people. Now, my guest is a friend. Ahmed Beran is a guy, a comiker. You might know him from TV. He is someone that gave me advice. I'm not great on advice. I don't know how you are with it, but sometimes you take it, don't you? It's like little like fairy dust. You take some of it, and look at him now. He's got his own TV show. He's acting. He's going out on tour. I'll talk about that later on. And we got to talk about health conditions and looking after yourself and how important that is. He's got a young family, a wife. And once again, right, through it all, friendship is the healing answer. Through it all, your friendship is the answer. Because a study done in, we'll cut that bit, it was horrific. A study done in 2016 shows, now this is, oh, these are stats, shows that breast cancer patients who had at least five friends, listen to this, five friends had a better chance at healing. Surprisingly, having a husband had zero impact. Oh, isn't that horrific? And you think, is it just that on that side? No, it's the same thing for men. A long-term study showed that friends reduced the likelihood of heart problems. Once again, a romantic partner did not. Nothing. Zilch. So I think it goes back to like man flu. And the man going, my life's over. It's, and the woman ignores it. That's how it should be, because then the friends rally around and he gets better, because man flu is a serious thing. And talking of serious things, Ahmed is on tour. So if you like this podcast, go and watch him. If you don't like it, come and watch me, the master himself, the dream host, Al Pitcher. I am on tour. It's called Tid for Scrat, and it is a time for laughter of all times. So come along. You will absolutely love it. Can't wait to see you, my little friends. And yeah, get them at alpitcher.com. But now, stop what you're doing. Do what you need to. Listen to me and Ahmed Beran.
Just after the news you've just told me, I have to reevaluate how I. You're now a rival.
Make sure that I just sound as boring as.
We've known each other for years.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this, but I once did a gig, and then afterwards I wrote a message to you.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh man, I'm sorry, that was shit. And I remember you just going, like, shut the fuck up, man. You're really good. Just, and it was, you were spot on. You know, as a comic, you're always like putting your hand out and wanting, not always. I think you get happier with it. But it was a real moment for me over here. It was like, yeah, just do your own thing. And it was, yeah.
No, I remember it was a club I had in Hornsul called Sloppy Seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a rough night, I get it, but it wasn't because of your performance. It was just like the night in general.
Yeah.
And I remember it as well, because I got a little bit stunned, because I was like, this is fucking Al Pitcher. Like,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think, yeah, I don't know how long we've known each other before that.
Yeah.
But you was also this comedian who've already had a career as a comedian. You were already a professional comedian.
Yeah.
And you now come from the Premier League to Allsvenskan.
Yeah.
and you're worried about a gig that you had that didn't go. I remember, because I was thinking a lot about it. I thought it was cool, because it also showed like, oh yeah, you never stop
doubting
yourself. You never stop evolving. Like, you always want to nail your sets.
Absolutely.
So that thing, I thought it was adorable.
Okay.
But I remember thinking like, no, you're fucking Al Pitcher. Like,
sometimes. And then I think you blocked me afterwards. Huh? But no, that's really nice. No. That is kind of cool, because I
went to everybody and said, did you know Al was a bitch? It's just like this emotional
just
wreckage.
Look at this.
Look at
what's
this.
Wrong
just
with
crying.
Him? But it was a bit of a kind of like, just pull yourself together, man.
Yeah.
Just do your thing, you know. Do you get those? Do you get doubts?
I have a lot of. I actually had a similar moment. Well, not similar, but I remember I did the Armcore tour once, and we were in Växjö. I remember after the gig, I was so disappointed over my gig.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Martin, and he was like, "What's up? Like, you seem a little bit down." I was like, "Yeah, but the gig, I really wanted to nail it, and I don't get it." La, la, la. Yeah, and I remember, and he just looked me in the eyes, and he was like, "So you want to cry? That's what you want to cry right now?" And,
yeah.
And he just started mocking me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It just got me out of the route. He was like, "Yeah, okay, I had a shitty gig.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it behind you and on to the next one."
Yeah, I'm always quite encouraged when I hear people are still very sensitive. I think as comics, we are sensitive.
Exactly, because we're working with our passion. And I think, like, so when you have that ingredient as a variable in the whole thing, like, you don't, like, you know, you can have certain gigs that you're like, oh, I don't care if I'm trying shit out, I'm working on stuff, like, it doesn't matter. But, you know, when you come to the finals, you want to perform. Like, you want to, all that shit, all those hours that I put down on stage is for this night. Like, if it's a recording or it's a special gig, something, and you want to hit the home run, and when you don't get it, like, you get devastated.
Oh, yeah, right. But, like, comedy is... Stand up so immediate. Now you've got the success of the TV show, and you're Comedian of the Year.
Oh yeah,
I spoke to Kodjo about this. Very angry, he's very angry. But congrats, man.
Thanks.
And well deserved. And it's with the TV show. Was this your idea?
No, the original idea comes from Mickey Lindgren. I call him the SVT Golden Goose.
Okay.
Because I think, because pretty much all their big, like, comedy production, like Humor Produktioner, Grotesco, Svenska Nyheter, Herr Talman, they're all his. Like, they are his brainchilds.
Yeah.
And EFS was pretty much the same thing. So he hit me up one day and was like, I have this idea for a show. I want to see what you think about it.
Yeah.
And he told me, and I was like, oh, cool, sounds fun. Like, and we started working on it. And then we had a small team. A couple of comedians and a couple of the ones that you see in the fixed panel, and we started meddling with the idea that he had.
That's what
became EFS. When we did the pilot, we had a blast because going into the pilot, we didn't really know what we had.
Yeah.
We were pretty much like, this is either going to be like the funniest shit ever or the most racist shit ever. There's no in between. We're never going to work or we're going
to
work.
That's how I work, to be honest. I work.
As a proud Kiwi, that's... Yeah.
that message way back then. I said to you, did I go too racist? You're like, you're our fucking picture, man.
You can never go too... So we did the pilot. When we came out from the studio, everybody was just so excited. Like, we got the home run. Everybody felt like, everybody that was involved, we were just high-fiving and hugging. I was like, this was a blast.
This is something. Yeah, we've got it. Yeah.
Exactly. And then I think it took like 3 months until we got the answer. They were like, until they greenlit us. And I was we're doing a season one. And from there on, it's just been a hell of a show. Like, even then, when we started working on the first season, it's the same thing there. Like talking about doubts. Doubts always come back.
Yeah.
So even if it was like, no, we had this amazing pilot. Everything was just like bang, bang, bang. Now you start thinking, well, was it just a one-off?
Yeah.
Like, did we have a good day where everybody was just like on par
and
you know, everything was just vibing. First day of shooting, okay?
Yeah.
We're super excited. Everybody's excited. I come to work. And Ola Lindholm, which was one of the producers, and he was like, hey, check it out. We got like 100 more extra seats because it's been full. Like, the booking has been full. So we got 100 extra seats. We're going to have like 300 people coming in the first day. And we're so excited, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward a couple of hours, and it's just like a few hours left to shooting. And Ola comes to me, and he was like, hey, you know this thing, like, what do you call it? Swedish, you know, like Black People Time, that whole thing. And he was like, so how late do immigrant people tend to show up to events? And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, well, it's just like 1-2 hours to shooting, and there are not that many people here. And I'm like, are you serious? And I remember, because here's the thing. So it was a Friday. It was in the beginning of June. So it was like the first week, it was hot. Like, the weather was banging. Yeah. It was graduation week, so everybody's on student mutangning. So I remember like an hour before the shooting, I'm going back in the studio and I'm just seeing them taking chairs away, lifting chairs away. And I'm like, God, like how?
Yeah, yeah.
We did have a small audience. I think we were expecting like 300. I think we had maybe like 120, or like 100 people, 120.
Yeah, yeah.
But that audience came prepared. They delivered, and we had a great first shoot. So after that, we were like, okay, now the ball's rolling.
Does it depend on the audience, that show, you think?
I think it helps.
Yeah.
I definitely think it helps because it helps the ambiance of the show. Like, I think our show is the only show that has gotten critiqued to the fact that they think the audience was too hype. Like, the audience was so excited. Like, you know, every 30 seconds is just applause. Yeah. With the audience that we have, due to the fact that they come from a different background, they don't have problem showing emotions.
Yeah.
So when they're happy, they're fucking happy.
Yeah,
when they don't like anything, they really don't like it.
Yeah, but it sounds great, man. And I, even, you know, from my time here in Sweden, I think it is a thing that's needed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, definitely. There was that calling out for this kind of thing. And you've had some kickback, I'm guessing, from people that don't like the program.
Yeah, but I haven't seen that much of it.
No.
Because, like, when the show came out, I know, like, some of the people in the production, that, you know, they were scouting everything. They were reading everything on the thing. I only take the good shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wasn't really looking. Because I figured, like, even when the show was getting done, like, we figured, like, oh, yeah, there's going to be a part of the population that's not going to appreciate the show. And also, I worked within public service for so long. So I know it really doesn't matter what public service does. There's always going to be this crowd that's hated.
Yeah.
Like, oh, is this what my tax money is going to?
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, no, it's going to my cocaine. But this is but this is what
again, very similar to Al Pitcher. Yes. Yeah. Talking of cocaine, we have a drink for you now. We've got a cup of tea. You don't drink coffee?
No.
Get out.
No, I swear. That's probably the most discriminated I've been in Sweden. And it's not as a young black Muslim, it's as a non-coffee drinker.
Wow, it's the same as like with the alcohol. I don't drink, and that, but I think it's more offensive to a Swede to actually not drink coffee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, what? No. People always react. They're like, and they wait for the explanation, and I'm just like, I just don't drink it.
Yeah. Have you never drunk it?
No. I get very pissed when I accidentally drink coffee. Like my wife makes fun of me because one time I think we ordered some from Espresso House, whatever. She had a coffee. I had my chai latte.
Yeah.
So I was expecting this joy of sweetness
and
sugary taste. And then I got this dark, hellish, ashy flavor in my mouth.
And got angry?
Very.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I, you're quite a calm guy, man.
Yeah, so it's not bad angry.
Yeah.
It was just very sweet. I was just knuckling up my fist in my pocket. I was like,
Go home and just be really angry with yourself.
No, the thing is, I've never drank coffee because, first of all, I think I have quite an addictive personality. Just due to the fact, like, the way I used to smoke cigarettes and, like, with the weed and everything.
Yeah.
Like, if I find something I like, I overconsume it. Like, I don't have the yante in me to be like, oh, it's a Monday.
Yeah.
So when I used to work at a retirement home. I used to work the night shift. And I remember the ladies that worked at the retirement home, they were so obsessed with their coffee that they were like, dude, I don't care if you don't change a single diaper during the night. I don't care if all the elderly are dead when we come in the morning. The coffee needs to be done. Like, I don't want to see you. I don't want to come in here 6:50 in the morning and see you prepare the coffee. I don't want to see you start the coffee. It has to be done. Like, and that's when I realized, I was like, oh, this is heroin. Like,
I should
not touch this shit. And also, like, even with tea, like, I drink like 5-6 cups a day.
Yeah.
So coffee was actually the only responsible decision I ever took in my life where I was like, this is not for me. cocaine. It was those two things. Did you ever work here? Like, or did you do comedy straight away? Like, did you ever have like a job?
Well, originally I was working in the UK doing like the UK circuit. And the original idea was I would come here for 10 days, live, live, I wouldn't die. No. And then 10 days, I would go back and do the UK.
Okay.
So I'd work from like Thursday all the way through to Sunday.
Okay.
And it worked for a while. I was doing a lot of Skavsta, Stockholm Skavsta, you know, airport and bus there, and it was, you know, sleeping on sofas in the UK. Yeah. And then it just sort of turned around to come here, basically. And I started picking up gigs here. I was going to say something like, the rest is history.
But when did you not realize, like, okay, you have an excessive fika culture in this country. Abnormal.
I think it was the consumption of how much coffee it is.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And how much it's like, oh, should we have a bun with that as well? You know, like, I think it was very much that. I was like, why do we have to have a cake with all of this? Like, you know, I've just been back to the UK, and I went to Vegas recently. Sweden is a very healthy nation, right? You know,
like, so we can afford ourselves some buns and cakes and fika.
Yeah, but we've got that. We've got that now. We've got that. Well said, Agnes. This is a fika that we believe is one of your favorites.
Oh yeah,
delighted with that.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. Approved. Ahmed, stamp of approval.
Exactly. So,
for the listener, it is it's a Wiener bread.
Yeah.
Without the jam. Yeah. Without the jam.
Yeah,
that is a good name for an album. That just without the jam.
Danish without the jam.
Yeah. Palm pop the jam. Go for it.
I can't.
You can't?
No, I can't eat sweets anymore. I quite recently found out that I'm pre-diabetic.
Oh. Yeah. Well, there's the end of the podcast. A podcast where I get my dream guest to sit down and have a fika with me.
Yeah, so let's talk about, why do you want to kill me? This was the master plan.
Do you want a banana? Banana? That is a...
See, now you went two races.
Yeah, no.
You had apples and pears to all the other guests.
I looked.
And you were like, save the banana for Ahmed.
Oh, my God. I was looking up and there was two bananas hanging there. Well, we'll have a banana. Yeah. I'll have a bloody banana.
Yeah, I can have a banana. So they told me, like, before the summer, I was doing a checkup. And they were like, we want to check your blood sugar because it was a little bit off the charts. So we want to see if it's because of your medications or if you might be pre-diabetic. So I was like, cool, did the test during the summer. Then they hit me up and they were like, oh, you're good. Like, it was probably your medication. You're not pre-diabetic.
Go get some cake. Yeah.
Bro, for 3 months, candy, cake, sugar. Just like I was, because you know what my real weakness is? Las Goodies. Like, I will bang the fuck out of Las Goodies bag. Like 1 kilo and it is done. And then they hit me up. They were like, hey, you have an appointment like for a follow-up. So I was like, okay, yeah, cool. Like, probably just to wrap the whole thing up. So I get there and we start talking and she was like, ah, bada, 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 bam. And I was like, oh, I'm just listening. She was like, yeah, because you're pre-diabetic. And I was like, no, I'm not. She was like, yes, you are. She was like, that's why you're here. And I'm like, well, no, you told me I'm not. You said I'm straight. She was like, oh, no, no, like, you're pre. And then she brought up my numbers and stuff. So she was like, no, you're pre-diabetic. And you said your mother is diabetic as well. I was like, yeah, she got it after she got pregnant with my younger sister. And she was like, so yeah, so you got in your family. So she was like, no, you have to chill. Like, have you been eating a lot of sweets lately?
And I was like, just moves the bag.
Dumna just falling out of my pockets. Yeah. And it's just like,
wow.
I was like, did you not see me come here in an ice cream truck?
It's
just like, I don't know. I guess we had some sort of miscommunication where I interpreted it as they were like, no, you're good. But then also, like, when she showed me my numbers, She was also like, okay, well, if you look at it from this way, it seems like you're good. But when you see these and these numbers, it shows like you so pretty much like if you don't want to become a diabetic, you got to relax with like this and this. And and then she gave me a pamphlet like how it is to live with diabetes. And I was like, wait, I thought you said I'm just pre-diabetic. Why are you giving me the end of the movie? Give me the pamphlet that's concerning me. And she was like, no, read this, learn it, and start changing your ways.
And you've had some health.
Yeah,
heart attack.
I had a heart attack.
You know what really got me, and it probably got
remember
you
when
even
your producer
more?
Wanted to throw a banana at me? Yeah.
Not wanting, you didn't think your daughter would understand when you were having the heart attack.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't want to explain it to her, and it was,
Yeah, I didn't want to, because it was just me and her at home.
Yes, right.
And
yeah.
She was, what was she, like two? Or two, maybe if she had, no, yeah, she was two. So I didn't also want to panic out, like, I'm fucking dying, help, help. But So I try to keep it calm, but also thank God, like 2-year-olds are narcissists. So she wasn't looking at me like, I think this guy's dying. Yeah, she was just like, hey, put on my shows. Like, I want to watch my show. So I'm laying on the living room floor, just croaking out. And then she was like, put on Bully Boompa. And I was like, I'm putting on fucking Bully Boompa. And then she was like hungry. And I remember talking about sweets. I took her to the kitchen. And I was like, I got to give her something. And we didn't have anything. So I just gave her a spoon of Nutella. And I was like, we got diabetes in the family. Yeah. Welcome to the club. So I gave her the spoon. And then just like half passed out on the living room floor. My wife made it back home. And I had to call 911 and the ambulance was coming. So by that time, I managed to calm down. So yeah, so that shit happened. And then went into the hospital. But I didn't realize it was something to do with my heart. Like, that's not what I thought. I thought it was just like, this got to be something corona related. Because this was during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I was like, either I got it and the test won't show it to me, or I've had it and it's some post shit. Or like, as my tinfoil friends were like, it's the vaccine. And then I go, like, they did a blood test and they came back from that blood test. And I was like, hey, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm good. They're like, you sure? I'm like, yeah. They're like, great. Here's a sandwich. Here's something to drink. We got yourself, we got you a room. This is your bed. And I'm like, what's going on? And they were like, you're going to be here for a minute. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I'm like, because I'm ice cold. I'm not emotional. I don't cry like Al Pitcher when I have a bad kid. I am a man. So the next day they came back and they were like, okay, it could be, and this would have been the worst part, that they thought it could be something called yathina inflammation. So that's what they thought in the beginning. And I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? They were like, well, if that's the case, you're going to be on sick leave for a while. And I'm like, what are we talking about? She was like, no, you can't do shit. So, like, you're going to be, like, in bed doing nothing. And then they did a couple more tests, and then they came back. They was like, ah, good news. You had a heart attack.
But it was a number of them, wasn't it?
Oh, like, I had a bunch of them. I'm a slow learner. So when I asked the doctor, I was like, okay, so what's going to happen now? And the doctor was like, well, the good news is, you just need to take care of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, you're going to have to give me something easier than that. I've been failing this for 36 years. I don't think today is the time.
Just some guidelines.
Just help. Can we start off easy?
Yeah.
No, but he was pretty much just like, okay, what you're going to need to do is, because you don't have any damage on your heart.
Yeah.
Like, you came in at the right time. It was an artery that was clogged. We found the clog and like blew that shit the fuck off.
Yeah.
So now your heart is straight.
Is that their doctor's words?
Literally.
And we blew that shit the fuck off.
I looked at the nurse. I was like, can you say that? She was like, it's Latin. I was like, of course it is. Forgot my school Latin. No, so he was pretty much like, what you need to do now is like exercise, eat healthy.
Yeah.
Like don't smoke, don't drink, like avoid red meat. Just like do everything within a reason. That's pretty much it.
And then we brought you here to have the cake.
Danish and cocaine.
It's because I know that you're going to go out on tour and you're around the same time. Exactly. And I thought, we're just going to give him cake. We're going to put him in a hot room. And then we're going to throw a banana at him, which is weirdly placed on his legs.
But you keep on looking, though. I keep on looking.
I'm just thinking.
I see you glaring.
Yeah, I know.
Your face straight, but you're just glaring.
I've never seen anybody have a banana just sitting there.
Casually.
Teasing me. Yes, you're going to go on tour?
I'm going on my first solo tour.
What's the name?
The name's going to be Inget Driv, which is like, it is kind of a double entendre. And like Inget Driv, like I've never had like ambition.
Okay.
Like being ambitionless.
Yeah.
And also Inget Driv as in like a Swedish version of No Joke. I was fitting with the name a lot and just thinking like, oh, what am I going to call it? It's going to be my first show. Because at first, like people were like, well, you should do the show about like your heart attack and maybe you should center on. I didn't really feel it because I've been talking about my heart attack on stage.
Yeah.
So I felt like I've done it. But I wanted to talk about like, what are the things that I joke about? Most of the time, the stuff that I talk about is shit that I like. In my head, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, how is this a real thing? Like, it could be serious, it could be goofy, but my point of view have always been like, I can't fucking believe this.
Yes.
And also, because that's the weird thing, like, we've been talking about, like you said, I've had a couple of really good years, like with the show, with the awards, the Soma Plot and stuff. But the weird thing with it is I'm not the most ambitious person. So, like, even throughout my career, I've just been, like,
bouncing.
And yeah, just whatever happens. I've never really like taken my own reins and be like, this is what I'm going
to
do.
But don't you think comedy is like, it's okay to not have ambition in comedy?
I also think it's a setup. And it's not a setup, but it's a little bit like the same thing that people think like, oh, if you're an artist, you got to be sad or you got to have issues and trauma. What's going to make you go forward. Because I've always had this slacker personality. I always have been, even like as a kid, my mom used to say, like, your laziness is going to be the death of you.
Yeah.
And she, on her, I had a heart attack because I was actually doing stuff. So apparently being active was going to be the death of me. So I always had this, like, even when I used to do sports, I was good at sports.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, I could be good at stuff quite quick if I just put my mind on it.
Yeah.
But then something happens on the road and I just go from, okay. Yeah. Like, even same thing with comedy. I've been doing comedy for a long time. And the start of my career was, it was like people, oh, this guy is quite funny. Like he has a unique voice. He got a talent. And then I had a couple of years where I was just like, oh, just.
It takes that though to find your voice, to find what you want to talk about.
I've been doing this now. I think I'm in my like 16th year as a comedian, like from the first time that I went up on stage. I've been doing this for 16 years. And this is my first solo show. It's not like I haven't done anything. I went on the road for 8 years with Branna and Jonathan doing SEM. So I have been doing stuff in between. I've always wanted to do the solo show at some point. I think every comedian wants to do it.
Yeah, and everyone wants like a special that can put together and, you know.
When we did the SEMs, we had 30, 40 minutes each on stage, which is a good bit and it's a fun set. But I also want to try my wings doing 60, 70, 80, 90 minutes.
But it's also brilliant to have your own audience there. Yeah. They've come to see you having your name on the ticket and they're like, this is our person.
I'm here for him. Yeah. Yeah. That is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about like the lack of ambition. I bring up his name a lot, but Carl Stanley.
Yeah.
So when Carl started, I was kind of blown away because this guy was like, I know he says he's like, well, he used to be like 18, 19 when he started, but he's at least like 45 at heart. Like he was a very old little man, but
Bilbo Baggins. Oh, kind
very,
of,
very.
Yeah.
No, but something
wise beyond. His,
yeah. It's
beyond
just like his, Benjamin Button's like thing where are you aging in reverse? Like, well, I know he came like from the magic scene. So he'd been performing for a while.
Yeah.
But when he started doing comedy, he had such a professional way to look at it.
Yeah.
Like for me, when I just started doing comedy, and even for a very long time in my career, I was just like, I tell jokes.
Yeah.
Somebody pay me to tell jokes. Yeah. Then I go drink, I smoke, I live my life, I come back, I tell more jokes. And Carl Stanley was like, you know, he treated like a 9-to-5. And I remember he asking me something. I was just like, well, where do you gather your fans? And I was like, what fans? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, of course you got fans. I was like, no, I don't. He was like, well, it's not weird. He's like, because you don't have a homepage. You don't barely have social media. You never post anything. Like he said, and he was talking about like, there's nowhere for you to collect them.
Yeah.
Which I was like, this is genius. And then it took me 15 years after that. And I was like,
it's the mystery cake.
But we've got a mystery cake now, haven't we?
Okay.
So if you want to
I get to reveal. Do the honors. See, now you messed up. I fucking hate semla. Semla is the most hideous.
Wow, okay. This is a kickback.
It's the most heinous pastry ever made. And I don't get why it got itself an entire day.
Entire year, man.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous.
Sweets are bullshit with their day.
And now you ruined a good croissant as well. Because a croissant, I fuck with the croissant. Like, that's good, but a semla, no.
If you're just listening and you're not seeing this, it is a semla underneath a croissant. And I'll be honest with you, Ahmed has not reacted well.
I'm really appreciating my banana.
Yeah.
Do you like semla?
I can deal with it, yeah. But I'm not angry about it like you are. Jesus. But I want to tell you about the history of it. And this takes a while. So sit back, eat your banana.
This is going to take 45 minutes. Yeah.
Give me a light at 40. And then, like so often with Swedish fika history, there's a point when German cultural imports have played a huge role. This was a case with a bun called the Heisevecken. I don't know if I should have done the accent, but
no.
In the Middle Ages, Heisevecken was, which later became the Swedish fastlagsbulla or fettisdagsbulla, was shaped like a cross signifying its religious importance, which they used to burn and stuff, didn't they? Jesus. The tradition of eating at Heisvacken was an opportunity to stuff one's belly before the beginning of the 40-day long fasting period before diabetes. No, before Easter. Before Easter. But these olden time pastries did not taste anything like today's buns. You would have loved it back then, I think. First of all, the sugar was missing.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been all right for you. In addition, the dough was boiled in salt water before baking. This is honestly pre-diabetes.
This is.
The bun was first hollowed out, then hollowed out bread was mixed with butter before putting the mix back into the bun and eating it. It was also customary to serve them in a bowl and pour warm milk over them. I've had that.
That I've heard.
Yeah. The modern semlet with almond pulp and whipped cream was first served as late as the 1920s. The bun also changed its name to semler, a German loanword that goes back to the Latin similia, meaning finely sifted wheat flour. Similia. Today, the semler can be found in many trendy and creative shapes. Everything from a semler wrap to versions with gin and tonic flavor. Today, I don't know why I looked at you. Today, we wanted to treat you with a crispy and elegant croissant semler. But you have said, fuck off. And you don't like the semler, ruining this whole segment. So there we go. I didn't know they'd written that at the end, but that's fine. But I think your tour will be amazing. It would be great. You're acting now as well?
I've done some acting. Actually, I'm doing theater this season as well. So I did a play called Åtta Kvadrat, which was about two brothers sharing a room and like outgrowing each other, which was great. So we did that last year and we got great reviews. People loved it. So we're coming back. But yeah, so the theater is fun. It's been, but I wouldn't call myself like an actor. I'm not doing acting gigs like that. Like stuff, that's what I'm talking about, like with the no ambition thing. Like, it's not stuff that I've chased. Like I have a lucky star out there and shit keeps falling on my lap. I know, I've done the work for it. People find. But like, for example, just getting the opportunity, like the first play I did was Melodies. So I did Miseria. They just hit me up. They were like, hey, we have this part. Would you like to try it? I did. I got it. And it was just such a great experience doing theater.
Yeah.
Especially for me, because like, I don't do that many act outs on stage as a comedian, like doing my comedy. It's just like, I pretty much just talk. So it was fun doing theater and just like, you know, all of a sudden I'm playing like the 16-year-old girl. So I had all these nails and a big fur and I really got to act. Just trying act outs was fun. And now I'm doing the second play, same thing there. And theater is, because I've done a movie.
Yeah.
And that's different because you get to do retakes and you can do it again. But theater has the aspect of comedy as in it's here and now.
I remember doing a play at school once and it was set in like the 1800s in Ireland. And this woman had like one line and we waited and waited. And then she just realized it was her. Mm-hmm. And then she just said, I think we should just go to the shops and do some like shopping. And she just, it was like she was talking in tongues. She was gone. And no one jumped in and tried to help her. It was just, oh, poor. I feel so sorry for her now. We should just go to the shops. And she just couldn't get the line. But your tour will be amazing. Yeah. Where do we get tickets? Just Google.
Yeah,
Google. That is an ambition.
Now I know what I need to take with me to the next interview.
Yeah.
Tell people where they can find the ticket. Yeah, just Google. Ahmed Inge Dream.
Give them the dates and the cities. They'll find me.
What I'm actually looking forward to is getting into the process of doing full-on shows.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm hoping like this is going to be my first solo show of many. Because when I did the Soma Pro, it was actually, I think, could be like one of the first times where I actually wrote something that's supposed to be that long.
Yeah.
And just getting into the minds, like the state of mind of that. Yeah. I loved it. I enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to doing the same thing with my show. So further on, several shows, more TV shows, more acting, just more of everything that I'm doing right now.
Well, except it's yours,
kids,
man.
Except kids. Two kids, enough. We're done. We're checking out.
Yeah, I.
How many you got?
Two. But my kids are 12 and 10.
Oh, okay.
So you can leave them at
home. You're enjoying life now.
You don't have to have like a heart attack in front of one to, to, you know, get some attention, you know.
Get some confirmation.
I apologize that we tried to give you sugar, but you've been an absolute dream guest. Please give it up for Ahmed. You are a great guy, man. I genuinely mean that. You've got a story. You're fantastic. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, Al.
Get your tickets to Al's new tour at alpitcher.com. This podcast was produced by Soulside Productions and recorded at Clarion Hotel Sign in Stockholm.